and Jesus wept. The gift of tears is one that can mean many things, but always seems to convey a deep emotion. It can be everything from great joy to great sorrow. And I was reading something that Father Powell had written. He wrote this: one of the most touching moments of the 1984 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles came by surprise. It happened one night on primetime television after Jeff Blatnick of the United States defeated Thomas Johansson of Sweden for the gold medal in Greco-Roman wrestling. When the match ended, Blatnick didn't jump up and down. He didn't throw his arms in the air. He didn't make sweeping bows to the crowd. He simply dropped to his knees, crossed himself, bowed his head, and prayed. When the camera zoomed in on his face, millions of viewers saw the torrent of tears pouring down Blatnick's cheeks. Blatnick had every right to cry, but it wasn't because he had taken gold in an event the United States had never won before. There was a bigger reason. 2 years before, Jeff Blatnick had contracted cancer. 18 months before the games, he had undergone surgery, and now in the face of great odds, he had won the second biggest battle of his life. The next day, all major newspapers carried Blatnick's story. Referring to Blatnick's tears, sports writer Bill Lyons wrote, "One of the most worthwhile things about the Olympics is that they remind us of the cleansing, therapeutic value of a good cry." You watch the gold medalists mount the victory platform, turn to face their flags, and listen to their national anthems. And in almost every instance, their eyes begin to mist. The sleek, the strong, the swift, they all succumb. And in doing so, in showing their humanity, they become even more appealing. And that's what happened in Blatnick's case. Jeff Blatnick became an instant hero, not because of his victory over Johansson, nor because of his victory over cancer, but because he shared his humanity with us. Suddenly, this athlete was like us in a beautiful, touching way. And we see the same kind of touching beauty in Jesus in today's gospel. We see Jesus, the Son of God, cry at the tomb of Lazarus. It's one of the most moving scenes in the Gospels. And the reason it's moving is because Jesus shares his humanity with us. We tend to forget about the humanity of Jesus. We tend to forget that Jesus got hungry in the desert. We tend to forget Jesus got thirsty on the cross. We tend to forget Jesus got weary on the way to Samaria. We tend to forget that Jesus grew depressed at Gethsemane. Why is it so important that we remember these gospel scenes? Why is it so important that we notice the tears flowing down the cheeks of Jesus? Why is it so important that we keep in mind the humanity of Jesus? It's because the humanity of Jesus is something we can all identify with. Because Jesus got hungry and thirsty, because he got weary and depressed, we know he understands how we feel in these same situations. We know he understands what it's like to be human. And just knowing this gives us hope. But today's gospel contains an even more important point about Jesus. It not only shows Jesus weeping for Lazarus, it also shows him raising Lazarus. Today's gospel makes it clear that Jesus isn't just another human person. He's also the Son of God. Jesus can not only inspire us by his humanity, he can also empower us by his divinity. Jesus can touch our lives in a way that no other human could ever touch them. And I was thinking about this experience that Jesus had in the face of the death of his friend. And even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the death, he knew that Lazarus was going to have to die again. And so he was moved by this deepest of emotions. And he wept. This past week, I kind of had a sort of revelation as well. I, on Tuesday, had surgery to remove some cysts from my eyelids, hence looking like I went through a bar fight on St. Patrick's Day. But as I was being prepared for the surgery, you know, we're all lined up in cubicles, and there had been a couple in the waiting room as I was waiting, and they were very simple people. And I had watched them and listened to them, and as we were there, they were questioning the woman who was getting ready to have surgery on her eyes. And she had had surgery on the first eye, and they were getting ready to do the second, and they asked her if she had purchased the eye drops that she needed after surgery. And they said that she couldn't have the surgery unless she had the eye drops. And she said, well, no, she hadn't purchased them. And they said, well, why not? And she said, well, I'm saving up the money. And they said, well, we have to talk to the doctor, because you have to have these drops. You can't use the first ones because they could contaminate the second surgery. And so they went back and forth about whether they could do this surgery. And in the meantime, they were also talking about the fact that they asked her, you know, about her designated driver. They asked if her brother, who was with her, was the one that was going to drive. And she said, oh, no, he can't drive. And then she said she had arranged for the city, the county transportation, to come back and pick them up after the surgery. And as I was laying there, a couple of things came over me. One was that I realized, having been watching the people who had been gathered there at Caroline Eye, there's so many people that come and go. I, in some ways, lost touch with those who are materially poor and those who have a very simple lifestyle. And it made me think back to the earlier days of my priesthood. And it reminded me how grateful I need to be that I have the resources to get the medicines that I need, that I had a friend to take me for the surgery and wait for me. And it also reminded me, as I was laying there, I had given Jim Elton, the pastoral associate, my wallet and my phone and everything. They said to give the person who was driving all the things in your pockets. And I was laying there and I was thinking to myself, if only I had my wallet, I could help. I could give them some money to pay for the medicine so this person could have her surgery. And I realized that that too was a blessing that I have, that I'm able to be able to help. And I thought about the people who must feel so very helpless when they don't have the resources to help someone else. This week we also, we had a funeral, and it was a woman who was only 49 who passed away from breast cancer. And as we were talking about her before the funeral, one of her friends said, you know, one of the things that really marked her life was her generosity. And she said she was the kind of person that if you had a need and you asked her, she would give you half of whatever she had. So if she had $10, she'd give you $5. And then if the next person asked, she'd give you the half of the $5 that she had left. That's just the kind of person that she was. And that too reminded me of just how important generosity really is. Because when we're grateful, then we're going to be generous. And I think that that's an important thing for us to think about. When Jesus experiences these human things in our life that we experience, it reminds us that he was moved by these events of suffering, these events of death, just as we are. And I was thinking about the fact that We need to be like Jesus. We need to be moved by these events. I also found out this week that my niece, who is posted to Oman with the State Department, had been given a very difficult decision, which was that she could evacuate her family, her husband, and her three children, but she had to remain until the end of her posting, which comes up in June. And that would mean that she had to pull her kids out of school, pull them away from their friends when they were going to have to leave in a few months, and that she would be separated from her family. And yet, because of the war, she needed to make that decision, and so they're being evacuated. And I thought about all the people around the world, not just the ones who have lost loved ones to the war, but all those whose lives have been so severely disrupted because of the war. And I thought to myself, you know, it must be such a, I know this sounds strange, but as God looks down on us, how difficult it must be for him to watch us and to realize the things that are happening to us, and to know how it is that he's going to help us and help us to get through things. But we need to pray. We need to pray for one another as Jesus prayed for us. And we need to ask God to help all those who are struggling. Another thing that happened this week is we've had quite a number of people this week who have been either diagnosed with cancer or have had recurrences of cancer. And again, to stand in solidarity with them, to pray with them, to let them know that God cares for them, to walk with them, is so very important. And a lot of times we don't know what to do when someone is grievously ill. And sometimes we aren't as attentive to people who are sick because we don't know what to say and we don't know what to do. But sometimes just being there, just lending an ear, listening to what is going on with them, can be really, really important. And so today, I think we recognize that there are so many opportunities that God gives us to be grateful for what we have, to allow that gratitude to become the motivation to help others, to pray for those who are sick and suffering, and to recognize that Jesus is Lord, even over suffering and death. And no matter what happens in our lives, he will be there with us to weep with us in our joy and in our sorrow.